My name is David Hernandez, and you're listening to As the Pokeball Turns. Welcome to As the Pokeball Turns, where the stories are real and people still play this game. Our journey takes us to Jacksonville, Florida, where we meet a trainer who primarily plays Pokemon Go to catch as many Pokemon as possible. She consistently streams her catch grind to an audience on Twitch, where she catches hundreds if not thousands of Pokemon on stream. For many people, they are motivated by numbers, stardust, or shiny Pokemon when it comes to catch grinds. However, she plays Pokemon Go and catches Pokemon for her mental health. She plays for her Twitch community, who joins her on her catch grinds when she goes live. She plays for the friends she has met both online and in real life. Here's her origin story into the world of Pokemon Go. This is Rowan8436. Today, I'm joined by Rowan. Rowan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Likewise, and I love to watch an old school grinder because I like to grind Pokemon Go myself, or I used to. It's just so much fun to really kind of just try to play the game as much as possible and try to collect all the Stardust, XP, whatever motivates you. So, like, how do you like to grind?
So, my playstyle has changed a lot since I started streaming. I started that back in 2021, and at the time, I was not level 50. I didn't have 100,000 catches or anything like that. Since then, my playstyle has kind of evolved more to a catch grind style, focusing on number of catches and hitting different goals. And I think streaming has just kind of kept me motivated with that, because even if the event is like boring or the season spawns are boring, having a catch grind goal and having people to keep me company along the way, it just makes it more interesting and more fun.
Now, were you a grinder before Twitch, or did Twitch kind of encourage you to even grind even harder?
I considered myself to be hardcore, but I had no idea what that meant. My idea of what a hardcore player is has changed a lot since I found out about the Twitter Pokemon Go community. So I played a lot, but I really just shiny checked stuff because I had hit level 40 and there was no level 50 or anything at that time. And so I didn't really have any active goals I was working on. So I was just trying to fill out the shiny decks, but I wasn't really catch grinding or XP grinding or anything like that.
You were just clicking, hoping to get the shiny, and that was basically it?
Yeah.
Do you have a particular favorite shiny Pokemon or favorite hunt that you remember?
The first time I stayed out really late for a shiny, it was when shiny Poliwag was released, which that's my favorite Pokemon. It's not my favorite shiny. And I stayed out, it was 2:30 in the morning, and I was I'm doing this for a video game. And now routinely I'm out until the sun rises, and I'm oh, I should probably go home and go to bed.
Do you ever get stopped? So I used to grind late at night, and sometimes I would get stopped by the cops. Did you ever get stopped and asked what are you doing kind of thing?
Two or three times, they've never been upset about it. If anything, they find it kind of amusing. Nothing that's ever been an issue. I play typically in the same area. So it's an outdoor mall, and the mall security, they know me to the point where they'll wave and I'm like, hey.
Awesome. So do they know you by name and they just check on you, or they just leave you alone at this point?
They leave me alone at this point, which is good. One time there was a new guy on their team or whatever, and he had some kind of issue with me, and then the rest of their team backed me up instead of him, and I was oh, okay.
You mentioned how Poliwag was your favorite Pokemon. How did it become your favorite Pokemon?
That's a really good question. I don't really know. I think I've always thought it was cute. And then someone, this was really early on into streaming, had asked me, what's your favorite Pokemon? And I hadn't really thought about it because Pokemon Go was my first experience with Pokemon. So I didn't have a favorite Pokemon growing up. And then I guess they had asked me around the time that there were just Poliwags in the wild, and I had caught one, and I was well, this one's pretty cute. So I said oh, Poliwag. And then now I am very attached to it, so.
Oh, it's Pokemon Go helped you form a unique bond with Poliwag, it sounds like.
Yeah, I don't know. It's round. It's kind of cute. It's Kanto. Everybody loves Kanto.
So you said you didn't grow up with Pokemon. So, is Pokemon games you just weren't interested before Pokemon Go at all?
I wasn't allowed to play video games or watch TV as a kid, which was odd, but it was like with the idea that I wouldn't grow up to be a video game addicted adult, and that did not work out for them. So,
right.
Yeah. After I got into Pokemon Go, I was like, oh, I'll get a 3DS and I'll go get some of the main series games. And so I have played back through them.
Is it different from Pokemon Go when you try to play them? Are you still find interest into it? Or are you still more into Pokemon Go?
I'm into the main series games too. I think there's just something about Pokemon Go where it gets me out in my real life surroundings and stuff that helps with my mental health and it helps with my depression and it gets me out of like the laying in bed depression rut. And so I think that's why I've been so into this.
I feel the same way because I remember that's what I loved about Pokemon Go is it got me out because as much as I enjoyed video games back in the day, it was easy for me just to stay indoors all the time, but Pokemon Go really encouraged me to go to parks and meet other people who love this game, which I found very different, I guess, compared to what I was used to.
Yeah, I mean, when I tell people like Pokemon Go changed my life, I'm not exaggerating. I mean it very, very seriously because before this, I really didn't have any friends. I spent a lot of time just by myself. Just like I went to college, I was taking classes, but I didn't really talk to anybody. And now I have so many friends that I've met through this game, both locally and internationally, and it's made a huge difference in my life. There were 3-4 other people that were hanging out with us, and 2 of them I hadn't met. But by the end of the day, we turned on music, we cranked it up, and we were just all singing like, shots, 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 shots. And it was great. And like, just a really fun time. And we all screamed when Tyler got Hundo Zach Rom, and we were all freaking out for him. And it connects people. It's a really cool thing that it can do that.
So Pokemon Go comes out. Were you like the first one to kind of play the game or did you kind of come later into the game?
So my account start date is January 23rd, 2019. So I wasn't playing at the beginning because I didn't have any kind of experience with Pokemon. So it didn't really appeal to me, I guess. I don't know. But I was taking biology class and there was this girl sitting next to me and she was driving me crazy. She's like, you have to download it. And she was always on the game during class. And I was like, your grades are suffering. Why are you... But she wouldn't leave me alone about it. And so finally I was like, okay, fine, I'll download it. And then she made me get to level 5 in front of her and pick Mystic. And I really just did it to get her off my back. Like I never thought I'd open the game again.
You thought it would just be just the kind of thing to kind of, I guess, quote unquote, shut her up and be like, okay, let me just get this over with and I can move on with my life kind of thing.
Yeah. And then a couple weeks later, I was like, well, you know, I'm walking in between classes all over campus. Like, why not just open the game and play it walking around campus? And next thing you know, I'm out all night playing the game. I have 600,000 catches. I stream it on Twitch. Like, it's, I don't know.
All encompassing in your life now.
Yeah.
What was it about Pokemon Go? Because you came back in 2019, so that's 3 years into the game's lifespan. What was it about that game when you started playing, started being more consistent about it, that kept you engaged?
I think it was how much I could tell that it was helping with my mental health. So I struggle with depression, anxiety, and PTSD, and the idea of getting up and going for a walk in the morning around my neighborhood was not really that appealing, but the idea of going out and getting the new Pokemon that were in the new event was really appealing. So that's what got me out and got me going, and then I realized I was like, oh, I do feel better. Like, that does work, and it's a much healthier coping skill than some of the things I was doing previously, and so I was like, oh, I'll just keep doing this.
What is it like to play in your area? Like, what's the community like? Where would you go for like a community day or raids and stuff like that?
So I'm in Jacksonville, Florida. The Jacksonville community, it's pretty big for the size of my city. I think there were a lot more people playing in this area like that I do my catch grind at a few years ago. And so there was a while there, like during COVID and until I'd say the last few months that I didn't really have anybody to play with. But recently I found in my new neighborhood, I found some people that play pretty actively. And so I've been getting to hang out with them for events and that's been really fun.
And you and your friends, y'all usually kind of grind around the mall, right? Cause sometimes I notice your friends will join you in the grinds as well.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why, you know, this time works really well for me because I get up in the evening and then I go and I'm out all night playing. It's really hard to find people to go and catch grind with you at 3 a.m. after they've worked all day. So,
right.
But I have found recently Richard, he'll join me and I have to make him leave. I'm like, you need to go sleep, Richard. But they often drive, which is really sweet so that I can stream.
And what was it about the streaming that made you want to start streaming on Twitch? Because it's a huge jump for you to become so introverted and, you know, dealing with mental health, obviously, to start playing a game you didn't really care for to now. What led you to want to start doing that?
Back in like 2020, 2021, I was watching Fleece King and I've told him all of this. I was watching his streams quite a bit and he had talked about, you know, he's pretty open about being positive with mental health and stuff like that. And on a whim one night, I was like, I was out, I was playing, I was like, I'm really alone. You know, why don't I just try that? And even if, you know, there's just one person in there, that is somebody that can help keep me company and that I can talk to. And on a complete impulse, decided to go live. It went further than I ever thought it would, to be honest with you.
That first stream must have been nerve-wracking, because I think about when I first started doing podcasting. Did you have that same kind of feeling when you first pressed live?
It took about at least 6 months for me to kind of grow into my own comfort zone a little bit with it. I remember asking a lot of established streamers for advice about what to do or how to stream, because I had this idea that I was doing it wrong somehow. And the best advice I got was from Cricket23, and she said, there is no wrong way to do it. It's your channel. So you're doing just fine, and there's no wrong way to do it. You just do what you're comfortable with and what makes you happy, and that'll show that you're confident and happy to the viewers, and they'll be able to see that.
I'm curious, so how did you feel like you were doing it wrong? Like, what perception did you feel like you should have been doing it?
I don't know. Like, it was just a feeling of like, oh, I haven't been doing this very long. I don't know how to do it. I should ask people who are, you know, well-established, like, how they do it. But yeah, I think it was more just like my own social anxiety that made me feel like I was doing something wrong, because I really wasn't.
Was it more like you had like doubt or just very self-conscious about it kind of thing?
Yeah. And I, like I said, I didn't have any friends for Pokemon Go. So, you know, the idea that anyone would want to spend time listening to me and chatting with me and all of that was really surprising. And I didn't really know what to do with that, because I wasn't expecting that to happen. And so I just was like, oh, how do I grow this, or how do I do this, quote unquote, right? But there is no right way to do it.
Plus, it's kind of cool how you've been able to connect with people who are interested in your grind, but also just having a conversation, because, you know, you're driving by yourself. It gets kind of quiet. It gets kind of lonely. It's kind of cool to be able to have somebody you can kind of talk with and have a conversation with while streaming on Twitch.
Yeah, it's not always like just talking about Pokemon Go. Like, there's only so much you can talk about Pokemon, you know, which is part of what I like about the catch grind streaming is, you know, if someone comes in chat and they're like, oh, you'll never guess what happened today when I went to walk my dog, I'm like, tell me about it. So we can just talk about whatever. And sometimes we talk about like people are struggling. We talk about, you know, supporting each other and being positive support to each other in the community. In chat, it's really, really cool to see everybody support one another and immediately offer to the person who needs support, like, hey, you can reach out to me. I'm here for you. And it goes so much further than just talking about in-game mechanics.
How does it feel to be able to like look at your community you've built so far and think about how far your gameplay has come with Twitch and with your grind?
It feels really cool. Sometimes it still feels a little bit surreal. And I journal a lot, so I'll go back and read like journal entries. And I was doing that the other night, and I saw one, and I was like, oh, I had 30 viewers at one time. And I was freaking out about it, and just so grateful that people would spend that time with me. And then flip later on in the journal, and it's like, oh, I had like 300 viewers at one time. Like, just seeing that and seeing the growth and all of that, it's just really cool.
You know, we've talked about so much about your grind, but we never really dived into the numbers of it. So like, how hard of a grinder are you? Like, what's the most proudest stat you have at the moment?
So I'll go out and I'll do catches, but I haven't been doing as much of a set catch grind lately. The day that I did, I was trying to hit catch cap. This is before they lowered catch cap. I was trying to hit it and I didn't understand exactly how it worked. I thought it was 4,800 in a day was catch cap. And so I went out and I was like, I'm going to go do 4,800 catches today. And I did. I got to 5,000 and I was like, what? That shouldn't be possible. So I think I did like 5,200 something catches that day. And that's when I learned that at that point, catch cap was 14,000 in the last 7 days and in the last 24 hours, 4,800. And I hadn't done 14,000 in the week prior. So that's why I didn't hit it. But I think that was my most impressive grind.
Did you try to get to hit the 14,000 by chance?
I did not, because I made like a little plan to do it. But man, that's a lot of days in a row that you got to go out and do.
That's what I was going to say, like, because you talk about just the one day you hit 5,200 catches. That's an insane amount. Like, how much of a grind is that? Like, were you tired after you did the first day?
Yeah, I was. And my sleep schedule, which is, I use that term very loosely, I'll be up for like 2 days and then I'll sleep for like a full day. So I don't go out every single day and do catches. I'll skip a day here and there to sleep, which is why, you know, the idea of going out and doing like 2K every single day without a one day being a break or something is wild to me.
You've been listening to As the Pokeball Turns. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. I was recently a guest on Star Piece, a part of the GoCast podcast, where you get to learn about your favorite personalities and leaders in the world of Pokemon Go. There, I talk with co-hosts GoCast Chris and Lachlan about my history with Pokemon, why I like to do interviews, and even myself and Dukes make our video debut on YouTube. Yes, YouTube. Make sure to check it out. The links will be in the description of this episode. And if you haven't already, listen to their episodes. Make sure to check out Trainer's Eye number 20, Top Quality C-Words, featuring LF Komala. And Trainer's Eye number 53, A Silver Wind from Chicago, featuring GoCast Chris. Now let's get back to this episode. Now, have you had a chance to be able to attend any live events at all?
Yeah, actually I have. My first GoFest was Seattle, and then I also went to New York. It was crazy, and I was so excited too because it was my first in-person event. It was so cool, like just walking around the city and then having people be like, hey, I just got this shiny, like, and I've never talked to this person before, and I'm like, congrats. But they could see I was wearing like Pokemon merch and stuff, or recognizing the names of people that had dropped lures from Twitter. I was like, hey, I know them. Like, it's pretty cool.
Did you go by yourself, or did you go with your friends from Florida, from where you're from?
Well, I got to meet my girlfriend in person, Taz Star. She's a Sydney player. Yeah. And she recently hit 1 billion XP. But yeah, so we got to meet and spend time together. And we went and played, like, we went out all night one night just walking around.
Oh my gosh, that must have been so romantic and so nice.
Yeah, it was really cool watching, like, looking at the lights on the Space Needle and stuff, too.
Did y'all meet through Pokemon Go, or did y'all know each other before?
We did meet through Pokemon Go. I knew who she was. Like, I recognized the name from Twitter, and I knew she was a really hardcore player. And so I was always, like, kind of intimidated to want to add her because I don't know. And then she came in my stream, and I, like, kind of was like, oh, Taz, oh, hi. And I was, like, super awkward about it. But yeah. And then eventually she was like, I kind of think you're cute. And I was like, who, me? She helped me learn how to catch grind more.
That's so awesome, especially because, you know, at the time you didn't really feel like, I guess, I don't know if that's the word. At the time you didn't feel like you were kind of worth her time, but it's kind of cool how y'all came together both online and through Pokemon Go. That's so sweet.
Yeah, I didn't feel like I had much of a standing in the hardcore community at that point. That's why I started Twitter in the first place, was because I wanted to keep track of like my stats and that sort of thing towards hitting level 50 at that point. At one point, I made a post. This is before the remote raid limit. And I was like, oh, I raid a lot of like trash raids, right? And so I made a post that was like, trash raiders, add me. And I had no idea what I was signing up for. Like, I got endless blank raids back to back to back for hours. And I was like, well, I have a reputation to uphold now. So I did like thousands of like Porygons and Spoinks and like garbage raids.
Oh, no.
I'm coming up on 10K champion raids now, so.
So now we go over to New York. So how is New York different? And was it better? Was it worse in your opinion?
I think my personal overall experience was better in New York because I kind of knew what I was going to experience. It wasn't my very first in-person event. With the social anxiety and I'm on the autism spectrum, I can get really overwhelmed with big groups of people. And in Seattle, I didn't prepare for that. And so I ended up being pretty overwhelmed and not enjoying myself that much. In New York, you know, I knew what to expect with that. And so before I went, I was like, I need to make sure if I'm feeling overwhelmed, I go and take a few minutes and breathe. Of course, you know, all of my friends, they know that about me and I had been pretty open and they're all very supportive. So if I needed a break, I was just like, okay, guys, I'll be right back. I just got to go like breathe. And I think that was really helpful. And I got to enjoy it a lot more. I felt bad because people knew what I looked like or what I sounded like, but I would not recognize them at all because I only know like their Twitch name or their in-game name. And maybe we've talked quite a bit in chat, but I feel so bad. I'm like, what's your in-game name? And then they tell me and I'm like, oh yeah, we know each other on like a pretty solid level. Sorry about that. But yeah, I was like, man, I'm supposed to recognize people, but I've never seen them before.
Did you get a lot of people who came up to you who recognized you, your face and your voice and stuff like that? Like, was that pretty consistent?
Yeah. So I think it part of that too was right before the day I was flying up to New York, because I don't have like a camera on me at all times on stream, I was like, oh, I should post a picture of me in the airport and put it on Twitter. And because I was going to a meetup that night that I was featured in, and I did that and Pokemon Go retweeted it. And so got like 250,000 impressions and stuff. So I think that added to being recognized because I was wearing the same outfit.
Oh my gosh. That must have been kind of cool though to have Pokemon retweet your tweet though. Although I guess that'd be kind of scary as well.
I got off the plane and I was like, why is everybody texting me congrats? I was so confused. And then I was like, oh, that's crazy. Okay.
Did you frame that tweet by chance when they retweeted it? Like, I would take a picture of it, just put it on my wall.
I definitely have it screenshotted.
Last question about GoFest. You know, if somebody wanted to go, what would you tell them?
I think that it's a worthwhile experience. I know, like, it can be confusing to figure out whether or not it's worth it financially just based off of Twitter. But I think it's a really good experience. It's a really cool experience, too. Like, walking around and seeing, you know, hundreds and thousands of people that you can tell are also playing the game and that just love it as much as you do. You can go up to anybody and start talking to them, and they're going to, you know, accept you and welcome you in and start chatting with you. Like, there's not a lot of clickiness. There's not a lot of people that are going to be like, oh, why are you talking to me? You know, so you don't have to worry about that so much. And the actual event itself with like the shinies and all of that, it kind of is second for me to getting to meet people and talk about all of that. I mean, obviously it's really cool too, but I think the coolest part is getting to see trainers from all over the world and meet people that maybe you've known online, but now you get to, you know, give them a hug, take a picture in real life.
Well, Rowan, you've been a wonderful guest. I do have one last question before we close this taco stand for the day.
Okay.
You talked about how before, when you first started playing Pokemon Go, you were very introverted, you're very to yourself, very isolated. And then as you played Pokemon Go, you got to meet people, make friends, even got to meet your girlfriend, got to visit two cities, New York and Seattle. Say somebody who has struggled with mental health just like you were, what kind of advice would you give them?
So if you're like me and you got, you know, maybe social anxiety, I know I feel like I'm really bad at small talk. Pokemon Go is a great way to meet people because you meet people, you can walk up to a group of people that are playing and you already have something to talk about. You can talk about the game, ask them what their favorite shiny is. Like, you have built-in small talk. You don't have to be like, how's the weather? And I think it helps a lot with the anxiety. I think there's also a lot of the player base that is sympathetic and understanding of social anxiety because a lot of us deal with it and are pretty understanding of it. And if they don't deal with it themselves, their friends who play the game do. So there's not a lot of judgment there. Reach out, try to befriend people. And if somebody says something mean or rejects you, like, it's not you, it's them. Like, there's something going on there where they want to be judgy. Friends are great. It really does help to have a support system. And even if it's at first, you know, you only feel comfortable going into chats and talking to people that way, like on the internet, that's a place to start. People in my chat have told me that they lurked a lot at first and now they feel comfortable chatting. And then from their experiences in Twitch chats, now they've gone on to finding people in their local community that they feel comfortable talking to. And now they have people that they hang out with all the time. So wherever you need to start is perfectly all right. And there's nothing wrong with being nervous to talk to people.
Rowan, that's an episode. Thank you for coming on the show. Before you do go, if people want to connect with you, if they want to check out your Twitch stream, where can they go? By all means, please plug away.
Yeah, my Twitch is Rowan8436. And I have the same handle on Twitter and Discord and everything. And I would love to talk to you guys. I really just like connecting with people. Thank you so much for having me.
Definitely. Is there any meaning behind the 8436?
Yeah, there is. My very first phone passcode when I was like 12, I didn't know what to make my passcode. And so I typed out my dog's name in letters. So it's Theo. So T-H-E-O is 8436.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
Well, cool beans. I'll make sure to include links to everything she said in the description of today's episode. Thank you for listening to As the Pokeball Turns. If you want to support the show, consider becoming a Patreon by either clicking the link in the description or going to patreon.com/asthepokeballturns. Now here's a sneak peek for the next episode of As the Pokeball Turns. You know, let's take the people back to when I first asked you. We're talking GoFest, New York City. We're sitting down, I believe we're eating some pizza. And I'm thinking about having you on as my final guest. And I'm like, I hope he says yes. And thankfully you agreed to come on to the show.
Oh, that was a very easy yes.
You're the 52nd guest, completing the entire 52 weeks, 52 guest.
Yay!
Normally, this is when I ask one final question. Instead, I decided to switch it up for this one last episode.